Mini episode 903 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 903. We are very happy to get a guest back on the show that we have spoken with previously. It is Chidi Ahanotu, who is somebody who, again, had a very successful career in professional football and then subsequently has gone on to great entrepreneurship, such as with Magellan Entertainment and some of the management work that he has done subsequently. If you're following his Twitter account these days, of course, you will see that he's got some thoughts on a part of what we're going to be talking about today, which is the state of the NFL sort of writ large as far as some of the off-field issues, the business of the NFL. There have been a lot of stories about how it has been declining in some ways during the 2017 season, of course, with the flag protests, in particular the national anthem protests, being a component of this in an area of controversy, and as I say, something where Chidi has been expressing himself very vociferously on Twitter. If you're reading his account, you know exactly what I'm talking about as far as his thoughts on this issue. So getting his perspective on this, particularly as it evolves into direct issues of labor and management, such as with the Houston Texans and the turn that that has taken, we knew it would be very interesting to get him on and get his thoughts as somebody who's been in the trenches himself, and quite literally in the trenches from the position that he played in the NFL. So, Chidi, a pleasure to get you back on the show. How are you today, sir?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It's very good to have you back on. And again, to get your thoughts on these issues here, which we'll use as a jumping off point, obviously, what's been going on with the national anthem and the protests, the kneeling that has been happening here, the turn that it has taken recently with Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans, when some of the comments got out as far as the inmates running the asylum, which he was quoted as saying, which again, with a reporter being in the room there, again, I'm never somebody that's sympathetic to anybody that puts themselves in a bad situation. To me, from my perspective, it wasn't anything where he was literally getting into name calling. It's an analogy, I think, that we've an expression that we've all heard, but to me, probably a big act of dumbassery to use that in front of a reporter to know that it's going to be made publicly, and it was taken by his players about as poorly as you could have imagined that it would be. So jump in anywhere you want to go on this as far as your thoughts on the shape that this has taken this year and what started with Colin Kaepernick really sort of spreading all over the NFL.
Okay, well, I mean, you're talking about the owner.
Yes, that was something where, again, that kind of made it flare up even more so, I think, with all of the Texans taking a knee during the last game, or most of them. But we seem to be getting to cycles where this thing is kind of dying out. It seemed to be dying out, you know, earlier in the season. And then, you know, Donald Trump saw that it polled well, obviously, to make an issue out of it. And that got it going again a second time. And the Bob McNair thing seems to have given life to it yet again. So these things really kind of tend to die natural deaths, it seems like. But everything sort of seems to come along almost from an outside perspective just to kind of stoke it and get the players one more time going, okay, we're going to do this again.
Yeah, man, if you want to talk about this this whole entire national anthem, you know, flag and social justice, criminal form, police abuse of power, you know, it's all in a big mixed bowl, and, you know, the masses in our country are either getting information incorrectly or have purposely tried to rewrite what the protest was all about. And so I believe misinformation or people trying to purposely put another label on the protest is why we had such backlash coming from a lot of people here in America. But I mean, as we've seen in this environment, in this political environment, there's a lot of, you know, white nationalists, white supremacists, hate groups, and who've been emboldened by the actions of our president. And you know, this issue is seen as an African American issue, which, you know, African Americans are not the only ones that are being the victims of you know, the police and abuse of power. So that's the ones that have been highly media publicized in the media. But I think you can combine all of it together, and this is what we have. I mean, I really wish that, you know, my efforts, and you mentioned my Twitter page, but I'm more active on Facebook.
Okay.
My efforts have been to get the right message across, because I am active and I engage with people. My page is open. I encourage dialogue. I think the only way we can get better as a society is through dialogue. And I think there are really a lot of people out there who don't want us to get better. They're looking for a fight. They want to fight. They want a name call. They want to make people feel bad. That's their entire mission. You can't get across to those people to try to get them to change. I don't believe you can, because they're purposely trying to stir things up, okay, for whatever reason. I think maybe because they're just disgruntled, scorned, you know, maybe they've been financially set back for years. You know, we have, you know, our fellow Americans out there in the coal belt, the rust belt, who are hurting. They're hurting. You know, so, you know, you say hurt people, and I think that's what you see happening. But I mean, you know, I could talk about this all day, but I mean, I'm tired of people trying to water this down, make it seem like there's no problem, and then here comes the Houston, Texas owner, dousing, you know, putting gas on the flame. And there's no, you can't sit there and not say that there's an issue in America when it comes to police abuse of power. We got, you know, this is also about the criminal justice system, court reforms. I mean, that is as plain as day. So when the players take a knee, which, listen, man, since I was a kid, if I walk up to you and I take a knee, if I bow down and take a knee, that's respect. That's the ultimate form of respect. So how can the nation turn that into, oh, that's disrespecting the flag? A Marine, I believe he's a Marine, told Kaepernick to change from sitting to get on a knee. So how are we still having the masses booing when people are taking a knee at the flag? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. You know, if they truly knew that the story, right, then they would say, oh, well, he's trying to show respect for the flag. Instead of sitting, he's taking a knee, and he's trying to show respect for the flag at the same time doing this protest. That's what he's trying to do. And that's what he is doing, okay? If you want to disrespect something, the first thing you think of is, let me take a knee, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be disrespectful, maybe he just spit the whole time on the floor, spit the whole time on the ground, you know? Or maybe he would just turn his back, right? That's disrespectful. But taking a knee? Come on, man. Kings are bowed down to him taking a knee, right?
Yeah.
That's how we show up respect. But all of a sudden, this is disrespectful to the flag. Come on, and then look who's saying, look who's calling for the disrespect to the flag. Jerry Jones and McNair, look at the comments. McNair's, that's the guy who's calling for respect. You can't even respect your own players.
Yeah, that's...
You can't respect your own players, and you're calling them inmates, okay? And it's no secret. The NFL is, what, like 95% black? So the analogies between the slave owner and the slave has been going on for a long time, okay? Because most of the players are black, the owners are white. That's the analogy. That's the comparison. And now, here we are in this culture of overpopulized criminal system. The whole protest is about the criminal system. And you're going to put out a comment saying the inmates can't run the jail or the asylum or whatever you said? Are you serious?
And that's, yeah, as I said, a real act of dumbassery on his part, knowing that that was going to get out there and be made public. He's really got nobody but himself to blame for that as far as how that was characterized. Now, again, you know, cards on the table here, and this is where I, you know, just obviously think that new media as a format is superior to traditional media, which again, you know, claims to submerge all the biases and not have a point of view, whatever. I think new media, this tends not to be the case as much, certainly not the case on this show. So cards on the table, as you said, you know, the military, there are people that are behind this particular form of expression. It seems to me, I don't know if it's an even split. I don't know what the percentages are. Obviously, there's a split out there. Some veterans are against it. The war dead, nobody can speak for them. So me personally, from my point of view, this as a form of expression has not been anything that I personally have really been behind as far as finding a way to address this. Having said that, and I touched on this with Trump before, that's why I was very resentful when Trump stirred it up again for what I felt was partisan purposes. As you said, there are people out there that are trying to whip this up, trying to be divisive. That's clearly what Trump did, and it's worked for him in a lot of ways, unfortunately. He wanted more of this. He got more of this because it polls well for him. Now, I'm going to ask you something that's a little bit naive because I think the media is responsible for a lot of this. If it bleeds, it leads. And if there was a sort of, you know, civilized coming together here, I don't think the media would treat it with any kind of attention whatsoever. But if there was a more unifying way to come out of this as far as, and I think this is what the league was trying to get at behind closed doors, is there something we can do to try to, you know, have the, you know, kneeling during the anthem stop? Would you personally, and those that you have been talking to on this issue who feel the same way, would you be open to, again, in the naive sense, if the media would cover any kind of resolution coming out of this and would give, you know, airtime to the point of view and the protests and everything like that, if there was a way to do that that would, you know, involve another form of addressing this and calling attention to it, would you personally be open to that?
Of course, the protest has a purpose. You know, we're trying to elicit change,
sure,
and reform.
Okay.
So, you know, people say, oh, you know, let's stand. Well, we're protesting. That's like saying, okay, Martin Luther King, just stop marching, and then we'll maybe give you what what you're asking for.
Okay.
Rosa Parks, you know, go ahead and sit in the back of the bus, stop that, you know, sitting in the front, and then we'll get, you know, backwards.
Okay.
People are protesting to get something.
Well, and that's the thing, that it's really kind of nebulous, and particularly when you get into, you know, societal progress and things of that nature. So is there any kind of a marker that you could identify? I guess that's what I'm getting at here. Is there any kind of a marker you could identify where you could say, you know, that things are moving forward enough such that this is, you know, not necessary anymore? Or do you think this is going to be necessary as far as the eye can see? That's kind of what, and it's a difficult question. I understand it's a difficult question.
No, it's not difficult.
Okay.
It's not difficult.
Okay.
It's not difficult for me. Obviously, you're trying to get something, you're trying to get a message across and cause attention. This is not that hard. If the President of the United States would say, hey, I want to bring in Colin Kaepernick and whoever else is the leaders of this movement, right?
Yeah.
And I want to meet about their concerns, right?
Right.
And we want to form a committee that's going to continue this forward to make sure that these actions are taken to elicit this change that is needed in our law enforcement and in our courts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If something is working on getting something done, then you'll see this whole movement start to quell. But if there's nothing being done, which is how we're still here, is a year and a half later now,
mm-hmm,
since Kaepernick first started, no one's brought any kind of real conversation legislatively, you know, or any kind of politicians have not answered the call. And it's not just the knee. It's not just the knee. It's not just the protesting and getting on a knee when the anthem's going on, because these problems have been going on for the last 4 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
As far as police and abuse of power, right? Killing of unarmed black people, okay? And nobody has really, well, I don't want to say nobody. Let me take that back. Things have been done. There's been more community policing. There's been things happening. But from a legislative standpoint and from a court standpoint, you still, the judicial standpoint, you still see police getting away with murder, flat out. And this whole notion that some judge, you know, can determine what's right or wrong in these matters is just completely wrong. It should be a trial by jury, all of them, and then we go from there, okay? I don't know how many of those cases were trial by jury, but I'd be betting to say, I don't recall any trial by jury, mm-hmm. because those trials would have gone on for a long, long time. It was just a, if I remember correctly, it was just a board or a judge, which was just one judge who looked at the case and they would make a decision. Or it'd be a grand jury, right?
Right.
They take a grand jury. But there was never a trial by jury in any of those cases. And then you wonder why the cities are burning. I mean, it's really? I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. It's not that hard to figure out. So you ask me, is there any turning point? Is there a marker? Yes. If the president or the vice president, anybody, would say, hey, we want to meet with you guys and address your concerns and see what we can do legislatively to address your concerns. And that's public and it's visible, and people see that the action will be taken to address these problems, these ills in our society, then yeah, of course the protest stops. But until then, no, it doesn't stop. It's very simple. You want to stop? Well, address the concerns. That's it. It's not that hard.
Okay, that's what I was looking for from the perspective of players and former players that subscribe to this point of view. So, very well said. And zooming back a little bit here, take a look at the bigger picture of the league and some of the things that are happening. There have been a lot of stories of woes in the NFL this year. Ratings tell the story partially, but I mean, they're about as good of an indicator as anything. Ratings are down this year. We were hearing about ratings issues last year. So,
who's saying ratings are down?
The Nielsen ratings for the games have been coming in as being down during this season. They've been declining, I believe, through the course of the season. I don't think it's week to week necessarily, but off of what they were 2 years ago, certainly. They're down a little bit. So there's a lot of culprits out there that people are looking at, whether it be oversaturation. We've now got the full slate of Thursday games all year, which I know those are not popular with players. But, you've got that. You've got whether it be the politics in the game, people would feel one way or people would feel the other way about it. The issues of player safety, there have been a lot of high-profile injuries this year. All of us fantasy players know that for damn sure, as far as a lot of the great players have been taken out of the game. So how do you basically see the state of the game sort of writ large right now? I know that you, as somebody that has previously been part of one of the concussion lawsuits, these are things that people are now thinking about when they look at the NFL, and people are having to reckon with sort of the human cost of playing the game. And I know for me personally, I mean, it hasn't stopped me from watching, but, you know, I watch it, and, you know, things that I never used to think about as far as player safety and guys getting hit, I think about now. And there are some people that I think are particularly soulless who sort of take the opposite point of view and don't want to hear about that and don't care what happens to the meat puppets out on the field. And, you know, I see this on social media a lot, people who say that they've stopped watching because they're sick of hearing about hard hits. I don't want to hear that when I'm watching my football. So you got those people out there. So, you know, I know there's probably more than one factor at work here, but I'd like to get your perspective on, as far as ratings not being what they were maybe 2 years ago, what your thoughts are on that and how much trouble the league's in, if any.
Well, you know, I haven't seen any official stats on the ratings. I mean, I'm going to take your word about that. I've been hearing other people say the ratings are down. You know, I don't know how much of a dent those ratings are causing for this $10 billion industry. I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
But if the ratings are down, yeah, like you alluded to, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why. I know some guys are boycotting the NFL because Kaepernick still doesn't have a job, right?
Right.
There's that movement. Mm-hmm. And then there's another movement who's boycotting the NFL because of the concussion stuff. I know another movement because of the kneeling. Nobody wants to watch because of the kneeling, you know. So there's a lot of different reasons why. And as you said, from my perspective, I would be betting first that it's because of the oversaturation,
mm-hmm.
right? I take all the protests and all the, you know, all the other politicization of the game aside, and I look at the product. I believe is oversaturated. I played for 12 years. I loved the NFL as a kid. Okay, I watched the 1 o'clock game. By 4 o'clock, the next game, I'm kind of tired.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired by the 4 o'clock games. But I get through the 4 o'clock game. And by the end of the 4 o'clock game, I'm definitely exhausted. But now there's a Sunday night game? Oh, I can't even, how am I going to get through this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to get through the Sunday night game? I'm exhausted. So, end up usually watching it, but at the end of it, I'm just, during the game, I'm just totally, like, what am I doing? I need to turn the TV off, you know? And then tomorrow is Monday night? Oh, my God. And then there's a Thursday night? I don't even hardly watch Thursday night football. You know, there's way too many games. This is way too many games. And I don't know, maybe I have more free time on my hands than the average person. So some people can, you know, tune in according to whatever time slot fits best for them, you know, whether work or family, what have you. But I would, you know, lean on the side that it's still oversaturated. This is too much football. There's too much going on, you know. And then you got every game, you can watch every game, you know, if you get the NFL package. Right.
Right.
So it's just too much.
Well,
no, it's just too much.
When you're talking about the typical Sunday, you're not even alluding to weeks like last week when all the masochists on the North Coast, like myself, were watching our dumpster fire of a Cleveland Browns team playing in London. That's an extra game. That's four games in a day to watch.
Yeah, now so, you want to add the London game.
Yeah, you got that in the mix.
Too much football, and then not add on top of the actual game that's being played. The pregame shows.
Yep.
And the postgame shows.
Yep.
And it's like too much. It's just too much going on. You know, it's just way too much. And that's why I would think that the ratings are down, because it's just way too much.
Very much so, yeah.
And you know, when I was a kid, you turn on channel, you know, ABC, NBC, or CBS, and watch your one game.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
and that was a big deal. You have everybody over, you know, you have your popcorn, your barbecue, and you watch your one game of your team or your hometown team.
Yep.
And that was good enough. That was good enough. But now it's just like, this is overload, man. It's too much. It's an overload. And I really think if they wanted to really get their rating back up, they'd take away that Thursday night game, you know.
Yeah.
And the players don't like the Thursday night game, you know. They don't like that at all. And the product they're putting out there on the field, it's a lot better this year, but over the years past, the product on Thursday night was horrible.
Yeah.
You know, the performance of play. So no. I would start there if I was the league. You know, I have a lot of ideas, but a lot of people don't seem to be listening.
Well, you know, I agree with you on the Thursday night game, and I don't think anybody'd miss it if it were gone. But along those lines, and to kind of bring things full circle here with you, because, you know, and you joked about it there, but you are, again, you know, I think certainly among the more thoughtful and introspective guests that we've had on the program. So along those lines, I want to get your thoughts about something that must be kind of conflicting to you, because, you know, as is sometimes the case in sports, as we've seen, whether it be with the Manning family or whatever, sometimes genetics will play a part here. So unsurprisingly, a gentleman such as yourself with a strong NFL career is going to have some kids that are going to have some of the same abilities subsequently, and I want to follow in Dad's footsteps. So as somebody who was a part of, as we talked about before, the NFL concussion lawsuit, you certainly have your own thoughts about the game and the risks involved and everything in there. On the other hand, there's the whole thing of letting kids live their lives, make their choices. Parenting is nothing if not a series of balancing sort of issues here. And you look at things on the one hand and on the other hand. So as best as you can, give me the thought process on somebody who's walked through the shoes of somebody who basically qualified to be a part of the concussion lawsuit on the one hand, and on the other hand is watching and hoping for the best for the next generation.
The thought process of making that decision, or
yes, just as a parent, like how you see things, how you come out on this. There's a lot of parents that are just putting their foot down. No, you're not going to do it. I've got a good friend of mine who has made that choice,
okay.
and obviously that wouldn't be the choice on your part. So your thoughts on how you came out where you did.
Okay, well, number one, I mean, the game has changed since when I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
The equipment has changed since I was playing. Okay. So, and the knowledge of the health effects to your brain has changed the way guys play the game. So if you add all those factors together, you know, the game is just as safe as, well, the game is at the safest point it's ever been. And as a parent, I think, you know, parents should not be over-alarmed because of all these things that are in place now, and not use our generation as the measuring stick. You know, I think as you go forward, you'll see less and less brain damage. Now, they don't have a way to actually diagnose the amount of brain damage that's occurring until we're passed away. But I would bet that there will be less as the generations go forward. My own son plays. He's verbally committed to the University of Minnesota. He played the same position I played. But see, when I played, and I tell my son this, we were trying to use our heads as a weapon. We would use our heads to knock you out, okay? And that's what we were trying to do, is knock you out. Literally, knock you out, right? That was our whole goal, especially the quarterback. I was trying to knock him out. Because you knock him out, guess what? Here comes the second string guy. And now your chance of winning goes way up. But we didn't understand the health risk of getting knocked out.
That's a good point.
Not only our opponent, but ourselves. So if I was to play football again, knowing what I know now and all the health risks, I wouldn't be using my head as a weapon. There's other ways to play the game. You don't have to use your head. You know, I can use my shoulder. I can use my arm. I can do a lot of different things, right?
That's a great point.
So now kids today, they're growing up and knowing not to use their head, and now the rules have adjusted. So now the kids know, if I do use my head, I'm going to get a flag. So they tend to not try to use their head, right? So the health risks to the game, like I said, are the healthiest they've ever been. Now you want to add these helmets they have out now? I mean, it's amazing the technology they have out there now. So, I mean, you know, my own son plays. I, you know, still concerned about his health. Playing football, at least in my family, is not taken lightly. It's not like a game to us. It's like akin to going to battle.
Yes.
And so we don't take it lightly. I pray for his safety. But, you know, he looked me in the eye as a young man and showed me the passion of wanting to become a man through the game of football. It's not just, hey, I want to play because daddy played. I just want to play because it's fun. For my family, it's more of, I want to play to become a man and be a man and go to combat. Then I say, okay, son, I support you. And I'm praying for his health and everything's fine. But, you know, I believe everyone should look at the game that way. I don't think, oh, yeah, I just want to go play football because it's fun. I never subscribe to that. This whole effort of marketing the NFL and marketing football, like, you know, going off to Disney World, you know, I never signed up for that. I never liked that. You know, it's battle. It's blood. It's bones and guts and glory out there. And they polished it off to make it family-friendly. Well, now you got the family-friendlies who signed on to that whole thing, thinking when their kids go out to play football, it should be some kind of family-friendly affair.
Right.
And it's not. Because when they get out there, they get knocked out. So, you see what I'm saying? So the marketing has attracted a certain type of family and kid to think that, oh, I'm going to go play football. It's going to be all fun. Right?
Right.
And so now those families, those type of people, those are the people that are not going to sign up football anymore. Because now they're like, oh, wait a minute, there's brain damage, you know.
Right.
And we can get seriously hurt. So those are the type of people I would think they are losing that crowd.
Right.
But the true football, the core of the football world, the football industry, I think are still there. And we're not only still there, but they are even encouraged and emboldened because of all the safety measures that have been put in place.
Right.
To make the game safer.
That's true.
So that's what I think you got going on. I don't think the game's at risk at all. You know, I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the game was always driven by, honestly, the game was always driven by, you know, lower to middle class families, and, you know, just like boxing.
Right.
You know, guys are going out there trying to, you know, prove they're a man, and damn it, that means they had to break a leg, and, you know, they're going to break the leg, you know, but it's just a man-eat-man sport. You know, I don't want to say a blood sport, but it was close to it.
Well,
and that's still there. I think who you're going to lose are the families who signed on to that whole Walt Disney World NFL, you know?
Right.
Who thought that it was going to be, you know, just, hey, let's sit on the sidelines and drink our lemonade and watch Johnny play, you know? And that's the people that you're going to lose, I believe. I don't think it's going to hurt the game much overall. I think the game is still sitting on a strong foundation. And, you know, I do think that they need to taper the oversaturation of the market, of the television market. It's way too much. But I think the NFL overall is in a good place. I mean, people say the ratings are down. I don't believe that for one second. I mean, how much down? What percentage is it down? And, you know, and how much is that really affecting the NFL as a product?
Well, it's still stronger than most other things out there.
Not much.
Yeah, it's still stronger than most other products on TV, to be sure. And again, great answer, because that wasn't something I was even thinking about, but who would know better than a former player how much the game has advanced in safety? So that's a great point on your part. I was going to wrap it there, but I have a quick follow-up because of something you said. I know this is going to be a very difficult question, and if the answer is I don't know, then I respect that. But you alluded to brain damage and tests for it. I've heard that they are developing tests, it's still experimental, but where they could screen people for CTE while they're still alive. If this happens in your lifetime, or the next 10 or 20 years or whatever, would you want to know as a player, as a former player, would you want to know this, or would you just rather just go through it and kind of take your chances? Because it would be a terrible burden to know that you have CTE. So where do you come out on that if you do know?
All of us already believe that we do have CTE.
Okay.
I mean, Dave Duerson was a friend of mine.
Okay.
Junior Seau was my teammate.
Wow.
I mean, all these guys, all of us are walking around thinking, well, we must have it too. Okay? So if there was a way to find out for sure, I'd rather know for sure.
Okay.
I'm already betting I have it. You know, I mean, every brain that they've opened up posthumously, they had it. And not even a little bit, a lot of it. So, yeah, I think every player would want to take that test to find out if they have CT so they can at least know.
Yeah.
There's things you can do when you know that you have something. You know, the danger is when you don't know you have something and you run and walk around, you know, and you don't know what consent you are.
Yeah. Wow.
So you've got to know. You'd rather know. And so you can do certain things. You can avoid certain situations, putting yourself in certain situations. You can eat better foods, and there's brain foods you can eat.
Sure.
There's all types of things you can do. And I believe 99% to 100% of us players are walking around with the pre-assumption that we have CD. Okay? And now what can we do about it? And to know for 100%, sure, we'd love to take a test. We'd love to. Why not? Who wouldn't want to know what's wrong with you, you know? But as a precaution, all of us are walking around thinking, well, I got it. And let me do some things to get myself better, you know, and try to cope better so that I can function and raise my kids and enjoy my life and enjoy my grandkids and on and on and on. So
wow.
That's not a sensitive topic at all. I think that's pretty clear cut, you know, and they've been saying that they have these ways to detect the CTE for a while now, but every test has come up kind of questionable, you know, by the medical science world. So I don't know what this test is you're referring to, but if it's out there, by all means, we would love to, you know, utilize it. And hopefully, you know, I'm a part of another study, brain study, that I've been doing for the last 5 years, volunteering to help them research this thing. So they still haven't come up with a cure, but all of us would love to be tested if we have it, and all of us would love if they come up with a cure. I mean, that would be great. That would be great, you know?
Sure.
So hopefully that happens, you know? Hopefully that happens as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, wow, that is very heavy as far as the widespread assumption among players and former players that they have it. I did not know that was the case. Certainly hope for the best in your regard. And as I say, you are certainly among the most thoughtful and introspective guests we've had on the show. Answers like that right there, exhibit A for that. Chidi, a great pleasure to have you back on, sir. Love to have you on subsequently. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Hey, thank you for having me. You take care, man. Till next time.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Chidi. The great Chidi Ahanotu, everybody. Thank you, Chidi, for joining us today. Thank you all for joining us in the audience for FDH Lounge Mini Episode number 903.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.